thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Well, good morning, everybody, all who are present and all who are on Zoom, wherever you may be. We look to God this morning as the family of God for his blessing. If you turn with me, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 1. We're going to read 18 verses there, the first 18, and we're going to concentrate, we're going to look at verse 5. Verse 5. But we're starting at 1 to 18, just because it's absolutely brilliant. But we will be looking specifically at verse 5. But isn't this just an absolute Campbell's soup, condensed portion of God's word that is packed with power? John's Gospel, chapter 1. Simply love this. Let your heart dance as you listen. Let your heart sing. Let your heart engage with this as we read God's word and we think, this is our God. This is my Savior. From verse 1, John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Hallelujah. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Oh, rejoice in that this morning. You are born of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me." A reference to the eternity of Christ. "For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side has made him known." Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. This is God's word. This is your Father's word to your heart this morning and forevermore. We're going to look at verse 5. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. First, let's deal with the darkness and then we'll move to the light, yeah? It's better that way. To be honest, I'd really like to skip the whole darkness theme and get right to the light. But there's something about needing to understand about the depth and the power of victory that Jesus has won over the power of darkness that we need to grasp. You see, we do. I really feel this so strongly that we need to refresh our hearts, refresh our minds, and know that the darkness, however deep, has been destroyed and will ultimately be totally and eternally obliterated. The kingdom has come, it is coming, and it will fully, absolutely come. That's the truth. And this impending sense of doom that many feel today is not the lot of the Christian. It's not. We are not to be sucked in to the spirit of the age, to the way that the world thinks, to how the world responds to danger, and all the rest of it. Impending doom is not our inheritance as Christians. Yes, we have concerns, like everyone else has concerns. Yes, we have our own very real struggles. Do you have them? Maybe not. But some of us have very real and very dark struggles. So we're not exempt from all of that. And yes, we need to be wise and be careful when dealing with the present health crisis. We're aware of all of that, but I'm not going full on for the doom thing. And I'm not being sucked into that. We, as the people of God, are not to allow ourselves to be dominated by darkness in any way, shape, or form. The light shines, has shone, is shining, and will shine in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Martin Luther, the 16th century reformer, knew more about the real battles with darkness than most people did and do. And he wrote this hymn, and I love it. And I think we should learn this one day, soon. It's an ancient thing. He wrote it in the 16th century. And one verse goes like this, verse 3. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. And the last verse, let goods and kindred go. This mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Hallelujah! And I can't wait for the day that we will be singing that. The top of our voices. His kingdom is forever. Here is a man, Martin Luther, a 16th century monk who was terrified of God, hated God because he saw the demands of the law upon his life. And he couldn't shake the guilt and the shame off in any way, shape or form until the light of the gospel dawned upon his own heart. And he saw it. And he grasped the truth, and the truth grasped him. Oh, I tell you, we are, yes, in a battle. But we need to understand something about the battle between light and darkness. We are people of the light. And light dwells in us. The light of the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ shines in our hearts. The prince of darkness, grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. So darkness. What does the darkness refer to here in John 1:5? It's not that sense of darkness that we sometimes feel or can feel as we personally go through difficulties. Maybe we call it the dark night of the soul. Maybe it's a trouble, it's a difficulty, it's a sense of darkness. That's not really primarily what's in view here. What's in view here is the spiritual and moral condition of the world. It's the settled, sorry state of souls without God. Darkness is often used in God's word to describe sin, Satan, and all that's demonic. And in turn, its effects on people. The shadow that sin casts is often long and it's deep. The world is hopelessly, pitifully, desperately dark without God. There's constant spiritual confusion. Chapter 5, verse 20 says this: woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Darkness. It comes in all shades and shapes. Even the devil masquerades as an angel of light. And the present darkness we face not only includes the usual suspects, as we would call them, we can identify, oh, that's evil, that's dark. But now we see a subtlety. And this darkness that masquerades as light has claimed certain words, ideas, such as justice, equality, fairness, and rights. I mean, normally we would have these words and nobody would have a problem with them. But these concepts have been taken and twisted in order to support laws and lifestyles that are deeply, deeply dark and dishonoring to God's word. So much so, one example, so much so that killing an unborn child in the womb up to the point of birth is growing in a number of countries, and it's considered right and progressive, and is done in the name of equality, fairness, and justice. What kind of darkness is that? That's darkness. And that's the nature of darkness. The nature of darkness is to creep and to grasp and to try and control. Rhonda read from Isaiah chapter 9, and no doubt Isaiah chapter 9 will be quoted many times throughout this week. In the wider of context of Isaiah chapter 9, I want to read it to you from chapter 8, verse 19, to get the wider context of this often quoted often quoted verses at Christmas time. Context is this, from 8:19. When men tell you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony. This. To the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. No light of dawn. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged. And looking upward, will curse their king and their God. Then they will look towards earth and see only distress and darkness and fear and gloom. And they will be thrust into utter darkness. Chapter 9. Nevertheless, we thank God for the buts of the Bible, but nevertheless, we thank God for the neverthelesses as well. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Hallelujah. And yes, 6 and 7, for us, for unto us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. Hallelujah. Of people walking in darkness, I've seen a great light. A great light. Verse 4 of John 1, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. You know, we often speak about Jesus dying for us, and rightly so. Have you ever said to anyone, you know, Jesus lived for you? Jesus lived for you. Yes, he died. It's glorious, it's amazing. But Jesus lived for you, and his life was the light of men. Interesting sort of like parallel in John in his epistle, first John chapter 1 and verse 5, he says this, "This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. There is not even a hint of darkness. There is not a shade of darkness in God at all, in any way, shape, or form. He is pure, glorious light." We can have confidence in him because of that. Jesus is the light of the world. And he didn't come to do a deal. You don't just wait for this whole Brexit thing to just be over. I'm sick of hearing of a deal, or no deal, or yes deal, or I deal, or no deal, or whatever. Just stop already. Jesus didn't come to do a deal with darkness. He came to destroy darkness and to bring salvation and the light of God to those who dwelt in the shadow, in that place of darkness. And another thing, Jesus didn't come to make true and lasting peace just a possibility. No. He came to establish peace, to make it happen by driving out the darkness. On September 30th, 1938, the British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain's plane landed in an airport near London, having just left Munich just a few hours previously. He stood on the runway just by the plane and declared that a peace agreement had been made with Adolf Hitler. He proudly waved a piece of paper with Hitler's signature on it in the air. At the time, some people said, wow, this guy's a genius. It's a triumph of diplomacy. Others weren't so sure. Later that day, standing outside 10 Downing Street, Chamberlain declared there was now peace with honour and peace for our time. Meanwhile, Hitler continued to gear up for war. And in less than a year, World War II had begun. When it comes to true and lasting peace, there can be no compromise with the powers of darkness. There can be no agreement with darkness. There can be no accommodation of darkness. It must be driven out. And God's plan to do that was stunning. Stunning. Oh, little town. Little town of Bethlehem. How still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Awesome, genius, wisdom beyond, stunningly simple, awesomely effective. Silently he comes. Verse 5 again. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. If you're reading in the NIV, it says, the darkness has not understood it. The King James says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So we've got overcome, understood, comprehended. Is the ESV right? Is the NIV right? Is the King James Version right? The answer is, yes. The answer is yes. The Greek word, and I love this Greek word, katalambano. If we ever have another kid, I'm going to call him katalambano. Which may or may not happen, you know. We live in days of miracles. But what a great word. Katalambano. It can mean to overcome, and it can mean to understand or comprehend. And here it gets excited, and here I get a little bit excited, and you might want to join me if you'd like to. Because John deliberately uses a word that can mean both and does mean both. Think about this. Jesus came, the light of the world, into a world of deep darkness and moral and spiritual darkness, fiercely opposed to the light, hostile to the light. And the darkness tried to overcome, to grasp, to understand, to figure out, to work out, to get a handle on Jesus by which it could hold him, control him, and ultimately conquer him, but could not. Who would have ever thought that death would be conquered by death? Who would have imagined that sin would be dealt with and be dealt a death blow by death? Who would have thought that the curse and condemnation would be conquered by crucifixion? Who would have thought that? And you see, here we have it. If you think perhaps of any two opponents, they come together, a football team, somebody playing chess or drafts or hockey or whatever, and they come together and they try to find out about the other team, what are other players like, well, how do they play, and they try to figure them out, try to work out what their strategy is, what their strengths are, what their weaknesses is, what their weaknesses are. And that's what they do. They're trying to understand, to comprehend, to overcome, to get that other team, to work it out. And here's the thing. The darkness couldn't work Jesus out. They couldn't get him. They couldn't understand him. They couldn't anticipate his plan or his purpose. They were bamboozled, confused. They could not work him out, get a handle on him, control him in any way, shape, or form. The darkness has not overcome him. Couldn't overcome him. Couldn't get a hand on him. He was not taken away to be crucified. He gave his life up to be crucified. He was in total control of his life from birth to death. No one dismisses their own spirit with a loud voice. Into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit with a loud voice. That's not the voice of someone who is weak and bedraggled and under the power of darkness. He is absolutely in control. The Prince of Peace came to accomplish and establish peace by the shedding of blood. Not the blood of his enemies, but his own precious blood. And on that night that Jesus was betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, yes, he experienced darkness. And he said to those who came to arrest him, Luke 22:53, "This is your hour when darkness reigns. This is your hour. Make the best of it." If that was their hour, if that was their time, they've had it. They've had it. It's over. And we say, well, yeah, the darkness is still around. How does that work? Yes, the kingdom has come. The kingdom is coming. And the kingdom will come. The light has come, is coming, and will gloriously, fully come. And think about this on the cross as I begin to close this morning. On the cross, at the sixth hour, 12 noon, when the sun is at its height, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, 3 o'clock. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, "My God, my God, Why have you forsaken me? You've experienced personal darkness. In darkness, Jesus experienced our darkness and much, much more than our darkness. Jesus experienced a depth of darkness that we have never had to face and defeated it all to bring us to himself. Ephesians 5:8. For you were once, you, us, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. In John 13:12, folks, the night is nearly over. The night is nearly over. The day, that day, is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has made his light to shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Has God shone in your heart? Yeah, listen, folks, I can absolutely sympathize and empathize with anyone who's in a time of darkness right now. But know this, Christ is in you. He is the hope of glory. He comes to us in our darkness. He walks with us in our darkness. He knows the way through the darkness because he's been there and he's come through the other end, and he will walk with us. To conclude, a couple of verses from Revelation. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. And listen to this. Revelation 21:23. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it. For the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. Folks, the lamp is the Lamb. This Lamb that was dressed in swaddling bands. This Lamb that was placed in a manger. This Lamb that grew in stature before men and before God. This Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. This Lamb who has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the glory of God. That Lamb will shine for all eternity, and we will bask in his radiance. Folks, don't be suckered into the doom and gloom. Keep your eyes on the prize, fixed on Jesus, the light of the world. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we bow our hearts before you. We worship you. We delight in you. We thank you that truly you are the light of the world. You came to us and you keep coming to us, even still in our darkness. Convince us afresh, Lord, that truly the Lord is the light of my salvation. Therefore, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Lord, as we come to break bread this morning, help us to draw near with hearts of faith and gratitude and delight that you have come and you have come to banish darkness wherever it is found, even in our own hearts. So, Lord Jesus, shine. Shine, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.